For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
This player to center for Tate. He's got a breakaway. Tate to win the game. Marion Hossa. A singular effort.
Here's Matt Smith. What a career goal. Did it again.
Crawford. Call the cops.
Welcome into a very, very special edition of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. It's very special because this is the 100th episode. Somehow we have made it this far into the podcast series. It's all grown up now. I hope everybody in the room here has worn their most their best formal attire for the occasion. I have not. If my words sound like they're coming from far away, it's because I may have ascended to a different plane on Monday night while I was watching the Bears beat the Patriots rather decisively. So I may never return from that plane. So hopefully the podcast is still able to be recorded from whatever place I'm in right now. But I'm your host, Dave Melton. I should have said that earlier. You can find me on Twitter at DMelt57. I'm a site manager here at Second City Hockey. And I've got all my line mates with me this evening for, once again, this incredibly special, wonderful occasion. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. You can find on Twitter at Jehosa's Witness. I almost used your old Twitter handle. It's Shepherd Price.
It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. And I'm also dressed for revenge because I'm on my vigilante shit. So,
Okay.
If you think I've listened to anything that's not Taylor Swift or Carly Rae Jepsen over the past weekend, you are incorrect.
I mean, we're going to bring in our other pop music correspondent shortly here, but I figured while we've got you here, Shay, we could let you extol whatever, toss whatever praises on you want to, or...
It's so good, and I honestly might get my second pet Taylor tat. Like it's like one of her lyrics in Karma is Karma is a cat, and I might get a cat as somebody who can't own a cat, a physical cat named Karma, might get a cat tattoo that and just name it Karma. As a Buddhist Swiftie, it's her best album since Reputation, pretty easily. It's way better than Lover. Those are my thoughts. Okay.
That's good. I have nothing to add. So we'll keep moving right along. Also with us this evening, he is the Second City Hockey, what Roger Daltrey is to the Who. You can find him on Twitter at Mills180. Or I think I said that wrong. You're on Twitter at Mill182. It's Mill Savage.
I have a nice t-shirt on that I got for free. It's a 2017 Taste of Chicago shirt. I think I worked the event, but I don't remember. I spent a lot of time at the Chicago Distillery tent.
I would like to say that I'm also dressed in my Sunday best, which is to say that I am in the shorts and t-shirt I usually wear when I'm sitting and watching football all day. Or a Blackhawks game randomly at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, because that happens sometimes.
That was weird. That was an oddity.
It was very weird. Also with us this evening, she is not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR, where she is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text. It's Betsy.
You have been doing nothing but listening to Midnights. It is very good. I like it a lot. I bet we don't like the same songs because I don't like Karma very much. It's fine.
Karma's fine.
But Vigilante shit is great. Anti-Hero is great. I like You're on Your Own Kid a lot too.
Yes. That was the appropriate choice for number five.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm really excited about that. And then two, why can't you have a cat? Is it just
allergies?
Why don't you get a one that doesn't, there's several breeds.
I don't like Sphinx cats.
Get a
they scare me.
I wasn't aware that they had genetically engineered allergy free cats.
They have ones that have lower allergies, including Russian blues. Those are beautiful cats. Those are the gray ones with the really green eyes.
The scoreboard is so goddamn big in this building. What the fuck? I'm sorry, they're showing warm ups, and I'm like,
I'm trying to talk about cats here, Bill.
It's an eyesore.
Sorry, I mean, I've seen it. We're back to cat corner. Sorry.
Okay, Bengals, color points.
The Hawks are playing the cats tonight, so.
Siberians, those are fluffy, but they're they don't have the undercoat thing that makes people allergic. And same thing with their saliva. Sorry, I went through a whole thing because I had a roommate who was allergic, and I was trying to figure out if I wanted cats at the time. Then we weren't roommates, and I went and got cats. But I did a lot of research at one point.
Sounds like it.
I'm also just a dog person.
Fair enough. Well, that's a you thing. I don't know.
Hey, anything under 50 pounds is a cat, and cats are pointless. Just saying.
Thank you, Ron.
You're very welcome.
Self-sufficiency. I like
that. Oh, Sam Lafferty. Jesus.
Okay. So, Mill, because of Mill's two interjections there, we can let everyone know we are recording this during the first period of the Blackhawks game against the Panthers, which, again, there's a large cats. That's why Betsy was talking about cats so much, right? That was obviously the connection there.
I mean, sure.
Yeah. So, if you hear any random outbursts throughout this recording, something may have happened in the Blackhawks game. The really interesting part is going to be figuring out who is watching on what platform, or I guess what's...
Yeah, and what time people are seeing.
Exactly. Things. Like, I'm watching on a computer through the internet.
Right,
so
me too.
Same.
Okay. So
I'm watching on a Roku.
Okay, so it'll be interesting to see who has the best and quickest internet connection, or who reacts first to whatever happens during the game. My initial takeaway is there's a hell of a lot of people disguised as empty seats in the crowd. Wow. Man.
They've been promoting this season as a rebuild.
They're taking pictures of the ice crew.
Yeah, it's not.
They're all hungover from the Bears game.
Very possible. Very possible, Mill. So as we've gathered this evening, the Blackhawks are 3-2. It's really weird. I think part of the weirdness is just because of how bad last season was when the Hawks did not win a game until November. If you remember, back a year ago when they started 0-9-2 and got Jeremy Coutwell, they got a few wins and then they fired Colleton. But anyway, they lost their first 11 games last year. So the fact that they've won 3 of 5 already is makes it feel a lot different than last year, even though this is supposed to be the rebuilding year. They're supposed to suck, yada, yada, yada. And that's kind of what we're going to get into right now because there's been, Shea's had a few recaps. So I had some maybe slight differences of opinion with some things that Shea has observed. So Shea, I'm going to swing this over to you first. I want to get your initial thoughts on the last couple of games, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
If the Blackhawks are going to win games and have a winning record, and I know it's early, then we have to talk about them like they're a competitive team. And in which case, we need to talk about the fact that they're very, very bad at puck possession. This is not a team that's supposed to be 3-2. This is a team who's supposed to be with swap the Blackhawks record and the Wild's record, or the Blackhawks record and the Canucks record, and it makes more sense in my head. But the 3-2 Chicago Blackhawks, maybe 4-2, because the Panthers are struggling right now. Not what you want to see in a season where they've already declared we're rebuilding, and where there's really good top three in this year's draft. You want one of those three. They're not on pace right now for one of those three. They're fourth in the Central Division. We have to talk about them like they're fourth in the Central Division.
Why do we have to do that after 5 games in an 82-game season?
Because it's never too early, and also it's
about yes, it is. Right. It's absolutely too early.
What just happened is now they're about to be 4-2 because they just scored first.
Okay, I saw the goal, so
I'm behind.
Okay, yeah.
And so like everybody's like the people who they need to get out of this town, namely Tyler Johnson and Jason. Well, that goal is because
Bobrovsky sucks.
I know, Christ. Which is why again there are going to be 4-2.
I want to save that goal. Like, it bounced off my ass.
They got to start trading people. If they wanted Tank, they have to start trading people.
Well, okay. It's okay. Can I interject on that point?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mel.
The gentleman who just scored is going to rack up some goals and be a nice trade piece. And that's kind of what they want, I think, along with Domi and Anthony Seu. Radish is right up there. If these guys can put on some points early on in the season and look good in these wins, that could get them some value.
Well, yes, but the national coverage of this team has been like, oh, this is all a scam to convince Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane to waive. Patrick Kane's been arguably one of the worst players on the roster, at least.
That's the most bizarre. I wouldn't say.
Oh, Charlie Conway jersey downstairs. Nice.
I wouldn't say that Kane's been one of the worst players.
I don't think he has either. He's just been on a bad That line doesn't work.
He's like, at all. Not interested sign.
Okay, so
Taves is on fire. So I don't know who we're convincing that they should leave.
Counterpoint: it is too early. You say
thank you
to say yes or no. They're good or bad. They've only beaten three terrible, terrible teams. Okay,
that's my biggest thing.
Going into today, Detroit was like fourth in the Atlantic.
Detroit's not
good.
Seattle was third in the Pacific.
Okay, so I said on the last podcast, we're going to know more about this coach if they're competitive with shitty teams and get beat by good teams. And that's pretty much been what's happened.
Yeah, I think I 100% think that they are better than we expected. I think we all expected them to be at the bottom. I think there are players that are playing above their quality.
Well, they're positionally sound.
Okay, and then
here's the other.
And
the
then
other
you have a good coach and they've played bad teams. Right, Florida right now has a bad goalie, and they have a bunch of Ekblad's hurt. So, and I don't even think the next 10 games are going to be a big thing because I don't think Edmonton's real. Like Edmonton is just a 2-player team, and they have a shitty goal. Jack Campbell's been terrible. They have a bunch of stuff, but statistically, you're right. They've been terrible possessionally, so that's going to hurt them eventually. And the only reason that they're doing good, they have been very good at quality suppression. They actually were they're in the top five in the league for that. But that's only because they played three bad teams that cannot get close anyway. So you won't know if they're good or bad or at least mediocre until the 20 game mark. We all know the 20 game mark is when you start to see trends solidifying. So it is too soon to tell. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal if they've won three or four here. Mm-hmm. I think other teams should be embarrassed that they're losing.
Yeah. Well, look, here's how they've won their games. They won, they beat San Jose. San Jose is one of the teams on the opposite end of the spectrum with the Hawks, where they might be significantly worse than we thought. I would like to plant a flag. I believe I suggested that they may be one of the teams to keep an eye on in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes at the start of the year. So thank you very much. You're welcome. But when they beat, it was the Sharks game when Sam Lafferty scored two shorthanded goals. I'm very confident in saying that will not happen again this season. They scored another shorthanded goal in the next game, and I believe special teams were a big key in that one. And then against the Kraken, they scored two goals in 13 seconds in the third period. These are all atypical things that are not sustainable. So
yeah, they have four penalty kill goals, and if they score 80 penalty kill goals this season, I will Werner Herzog style eat my shoe.
The minute they revert back to needing to rely on 5-on-5, it's going to crash.
They're getting outscored at 5-on-5 still, and that's still roughly 75-80% of hockey.
That's because they don't got anybody who could fucking shoot.
Compared to
other teams.
They're getting fluky wins essentially. And when they stop getting those fluky things to happen, Sam Lafferty and Jason Dickinson are not going to be point per game players through the rest of the season. Like that's just not gonna work. And when those players stop scoring, unless Patrick Kane goes on a heater, which he certainly could for a while, but I'm sure that'll run out eventually. then we'll see what happens. And that's why a 5-game sample, it's too damn early to be worried about their draft status. If we're having this conversation at Christmas time, then we can talk about it. I'm not there yet.
It's annoying.
I don't really see the problem. I mean, like, this is going to happen to them. They're going to be in it with bad teams.
I totally understand Shay's point of view in the fact that the reason it's annoying to me, so you have fun watching them win because you like to watch the team that you root for win. But Shay's point is still accurate that they went into this season going, we're going to tank. And then they traded some very good players or did not re-sign some very good players to make that happen. And so now it kind of feels like getting rid of, say, DeBrincat was a waste if this is a winning season.
Yeah, that is absolutely fair. And that is the conversation I couldn't entertain right now. But if we get to, like, again, if we get to like Christmas time and the Hawks are still like around 500, then we could talk about how badly did they possibly miscalculate in trading away DeBrincat and trading away Doc and letting Stroman Kubalik walk in free agency. Because if you had all those guys on this team, it might look like a legitimate playoff contender. Not like Stanley Cup contender, but contending for a playoff
spot. I think we questioned this last year and we brought it up in the comments recently. Last year's team was objectively better in terms of personnel, but underperformed because of coaching. What would they have done with a competent coach? Because I think we all agree that Richardson is competent.
I think we said that several times last season. Is like, I think like right before the DeBrincat trade was like, I just would like to see what this particular group or this era of Blackhawks hockey looks like with a competent coach, because they didn't have one for 3 years. And now they've got the coach, but then he doesn't have the players anymore. So it's
nice beard and nice fake jersey.
Mill's just the angry Muppet sitting in the virtual 300 level.
I have to be honest with you, though. I'm pretty pleased. Oh, the guy in the ad with the QR code had a fake on. They don't have a white C on that third jersey. I'm not angry because I don't care if they beat bad teams. They're playing defense like they should be. Like, they're still giving up goals, but they don't look Yaha.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference from
besides Tenorti, he stinks.
Yeah, Jared Tenorti is not good. Oh, it's a little annoying that
Jack Johnson is not great. You can't convince me that Jack Johnson is.
Nobody said he was.
I would ask you who said that because like, we're all. He's like 35. He's basically getting $1 million to do a victory lap around.
I'm pretty
the
sure I'm the only person that said I think he's been decent. I didn't see the first period of the last game, which apparently he looked like. He normally does.
He and Seth had a terrible first 10 minutes.
Ugh. Yeah. So I didn't watch that, but like every other game, he's been fine. And that is something that I wasn't even expecting, especially since he's playing higher minutes
a night. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was fine for the Avalanche too. He just wasn't as good as the other players. So we eventually got pushed down, which the Blackhawks don't have that many better. Like, who's better than him?
They don't really have Cale Makar.
Connor Murphy.
Connor Murphy has not been playing very good.
But even Tenorti, on what I just saw, I might be a little bit behind you guys. He was back skating and stayed out to the outside of the slot. And as soon as he hit the goal line, he curved out like you should. He didn't chase behind the net. And his man his partner didn't have to overplay that. Like, you would have never saw that under Colleton.
Well, to that point, Mill, I think the biggest difference you're seeing this year is when the Hawks are getting exposed on like odd man rushes or giving up goals, like what happened with Jones and Johnson in the Seattle game on Sunday. It's because players are turning the puck over. They're making bad passes into bad situations. It's not like the result of a systemic breakdown to where like,
yeah, it's because they're,
you know, like 30 seconds is like 30 seconds of zone pressure. And then somebody's wide open right in front of the net for a tap and goal. Now you're just seeing like players fuck up once or twice and it leads to a counter and a goal. Like that's if I don't want to say like it's encouraging because you don't want to see the mistakes at all, but that's indicative of a player mistake and not a systemic issue.
Yeah, exactly. I would much rather see individuals make problems, you know, than anything else.
Yeah, like the two goals, like there was Johnson was skating behind the net. He threw a backhander up the boards to Seth Jones, and Jones could have done better with the puck. Johnson also could have not thrown that pass into a bad situation, and it led to a turnover and a goal. And I think the second goal was another turnover somewhere that also led to a goal. These are the first two.
It was also Johnson. Johnson in the offensive.
I remember it was Johnson and Jones on the ice for both of those first two goals. So
for some reason, Jack Johnson was playing top pair minutes.
It looks like they're trying to do Murphy and Tenorti as like a shutdown pairing.
Oh, and they're getting destroyed.
Yeah, they are not.
Oh, that's a trip. What the fuck?
I think
right at the blue line. You watch.
I think Mill is ahead of both of us.
I can't decide if he's ahead or behind because I'm watching. I'm waiting for a face-off. Mill, what time? What time's on the clock for you right now?
I don't know. I'm watching a replay.
Oh, okay.
Of Jared Tenorti making an outlet pass.
Okay, you're slightly behind me then.
Okay.
But yeah, but
they look like they know where they're supposed to be. Like,
they look like a professional hockey team.
I'm at 11:15.
Okay. I've pretty much everything Richardson has done systematically. I don't even mind most of his most of his personnel choices have been fine. He needs to break up that top line, but I can understand why he has resisted because all three of the other lines are very much clicking. Mm-hmm. Because I think we've all talked about how
often to see you.
Yes, he needs. I'm just never going to try. He needs to be moved, and Kurashev maybe moved up. But I can understand why they don't want to do that because that third line is destroying it. So I get that. But then you have this problem. The other problem is that the two youngest guys who actually have a semi-decent choice chance of being in the long-term plans in Caleb Jones and Philip Roos are the 6 and 7 because they're the ones swapping out. Why is that happening? That's the only...
Hey, Betsy, please tell me that Caleb Jones actually isn't in the long-term plans. I need you to tell me that right now.
So I can't. to be fair to him as a player, he did fine when they had him playing in a bottom pair role with a good partner. He and Regula were doing pretty good last year when they finally were paired up together. I liked that.
There's so many better defensemen that they have in the pipeline.
They have two guys up there that could potentially be useful players past this year, and they're playing a pylon above them.
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
But
you know what? I'm going to give benefit of the doubt and get to like the 20 game mark because it could just be trying to ease them into that because Jake McCabe, for example, did not have a lot of minutes his first two games. Not a lot the first game, a little bit more the second game. So maybe that's him, you know, that's Richardson easing him into playing after coming off of spinal surgery. So I'm going to
cervical spine surgery.
Yeah. So I'm going to back off a little bit and say, I hope that changes because first of all, Roos has looked great. So I would just have let him have as much rope as you want. But even I thought it was weird that Caleb Jones had his first good game and then he got taken out. He had three bad games in a row, then had a good game, and that's the one he got taken out from.
I wonder if they're just trying to rotate each of them in because.
But they're the only two getting rotated.
Well, because Roos has never played an 82 game schedule before, and Jones is still like working his way back from shoulder injury. I'm putting a pin in it for now. We'll come back to it in a month and see what we
think. Pylon hasn't ever done an 82 game season either.
He's been in the NHL for
30 games in a season.
No, I know, but I think he's better. I don't know how long the Swedish Hockey League is, but I don't think it's as long as the NHL.
It's like 60-something games. Okay. And on top of that, Roos played top pair minutes in a men's league. He's 23, but I don't know.
He didn't have to deal with the shitty ice from the Bulls game last night, being on top of it.
It just seems weird to me that he had a great game and then he gets pulled out. Caleb Jones had an arguably, objectively good game, and he got taken out for a player that is, one, older, and two, just way worse.
Maybe that's to Shea's point. That's how Jared Tenorti's the double agent from the front office.
He's not even good enough to be that. He's just straight up bad.
I think Caleb Jones just high-stick Patrick Kane also.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Mill, watch when Kane goes for a change. Jones, I think I'm a little ahead of you. It happens but it's a very strange situation. I think it was Caleb Jones, at least. I'm not entirely sure. The numbers look.
Oh, yeah, he just hit him right in the chest.
Yeah.
It looked like it got him on the neck. Can we get Tyler Johnson some pants that fit?
No, he's Tyler too Johnson short.
Out of this city. He's too good right
no
now.
No one's going to take Tyler Johnson's contract. He's in Seth Jones territory. It's not as it's long not or as expensive as Seth Jones.
No.
But the Hawks
he's got a point per game, and he's still got a point per game. He scored the primary assist.
Do you remember how Tyler Johnson came to Chicago? He came to Chicago because Tampa took on Brent Seabrook's contract.
No, that was stupid, though, because Tampa used that contract to go over the cap. That was a favor to Tampa. That was Bowman being dumb.
Yes.
That was Bowman going.
Didn't the Hawks get
there's a reason the Vegas Golden Knights, as I say this as a fan of a team who did the same thing this offseason, there's a reason they went and got Shea Weber's contract.
Well, I'll tell you what, put in a call to Vegas.
They got a second round pick out of it, but stupid. That's still they did. they took a worse play. They took a cap dump because Tampa really needed to get rid of Tyler Johnson.
The thing is,
they got a second for that, and then gave them
LJR
the mechanism to go above the cap.
Okay, thank you.
If Seth Jones was on a playoff team that was a good playoff team, though, I don't think anybody would care about his deal because he's playing pretty fucking good.
No, I don't think so either.
You know what I mean?
I was very surprised last year how much better he was, especially since King and Colleton didn't know how to use him at all, and. Essentially, he just did whatever the fuck he wanted, and it worked really well. And so I'm excited to see him with a coach that is competent because I think he could be even better than he was last year. He went from being 10% to 50% in the league overall. And most of the rest of that was him being dragged down, I think, by the team. We'll see.
If he's got more points than Taves at the deadline, that wouldn't shock me to see him be the one to get retained salary on because he can probably bring back more value.
Blackhawks can only retain on three contracts.
Right.
This is the time to do it.
I remain very unconvinced that anyone's going to take that contract. But
oh, me too.
If he keeps playing this way for 3 or 4 months,
and even if the Blackhawks retain half.
Yeah. Cause you're talking about Tyler Johnson still, right? Not Taves?
Yeah,
Tyler.
Tyler Johnson, I think it's less about the amount and more about the term.
It's only through next year, right?
Yeah, but it's still longer. It's longer than 1 year. It's not an expiring deal, I think, is the point there. And granted, the salary cap is supposed to go up, might go up by $4 million if that escrow situation goes through that Bettman was talking about a few weeks ago. So it's possible that it could work, but I'm pumping the brakes on that one because the main thing is you got to prove to me that Tyler Johnson's going to be playing like this in March, April, and May the way he is in October. And that's a long way away for a guy coming off a neck surgery. So.
Yeah, but it was technically a surgery that had a much shorter recovery period and has had much better results in other sports. So.
Okay. I thought you were saying in the one other time it's happened in hockey, but if it's happened in other
sports. No. I mean in other sports. There was a ballerina or something that a male ballerina that had it happen, and he apparently went on and did three or four more seasons.
Now I'm flashing back to an episode of The Simpsons. So sorry. Go ahead.
Both Johnson and Eichel are also playing really, really well this season. So maybe it is a siege surgery that's successful and beneficial.
The other player that got it was Valino, however you say his name.
Was the male ballerina named Baryshnikov?
Joe. He was Detroit.
Joey Valeno.
Yeah, Joey Valeno.
Okay. But yeah, I like said
ooh, 3-on-1. Skate.
Guess what happens?
God damn you.
Not even it was it was a very good defensive play by whatever Florida defenseman that was to shut that down immediately, because that was the only option.
Get two guys with you. Make a pass.
He tried. He got smothered by the defenseman. I thought it was a really good play.
By the defense, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's our guy Phil that didn't quite get that pass through there, unfortunately.
Oh, Phil. That's okay, Phil. We still love you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick timeout. We threw the comment sections from our first period game that opened for some questions, and we got a few in there. So we're going to dive into those really quick on the other side of this timeout, and then we're going to yell about some food stuff, and then we're going to get out of here. So come on back on the other side of this break for all of that.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to this very special 100th episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. As promised before the break, we wanted to dive into some questions from the SCH commentariat who are in our game thread for the game against the Panthers that is going on right now. We're just about to the first intermission. And just to piss Shay off a little bit more, the Hawks are winning 1-0. So, sorry, Shay. But we got a few questions.
Winning.
It's such a bizarre thing to be yelling, but like it makes sense. But anyway, we got a few questions. One is from DevilDog29, frequent commenter. All right, hang on.
Right, there's before, a goal.
Yeah,
finally.
Yeah.
There's a goal. 88.
Yeah, Kane just scored. So now it's 2-0. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, Mills.
Let me see what happens.
We're like the beat reporters spoiling the goal for you on Twitter.
They're going to have a better record than Edmonton.
But Edmonton's not good either.
Oh, that was a really – who made the play behind
yes,
that?
But Edmonton wasn't expecting to be in the Connor Bedard.
A really great way to draw the defense
all right,
away from Kane.
While I'm here, right before we get too far, right before we get into the question, I do have one thought related to the Shay. If – like, obviously if they don't get Connor Bedard or Fantilli or Meshkov, whatever, that's going to suck. But – how much of it would be like the proof that you have a coach who can maximize the potential of all the players in the system right now? If that's the
what
trade-off.
What players in the system? Ryder Rolston?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, that is a great thing to know that you have in your back pocket, but it doesn't. We've talked about this before, but it does. Having a top three pick does not guarantee, like on your roster, does not guarantee you cup success. Lots of teams have that. But there's only been one team in the last 14 years to win the Stanley Cup without their own drafted top three pick, and that was St. Louis.
And they had Alex Pietrangelo, who was a number four.
Yeah,
and they also had Ryan O'Reilly, who I believe was a number one. They just didn't draft him.
Yeah,
they also were making human sacrifices.
Yeah, I mean, every other team had like most of them had multiples. You know, Pittsburgh had like three or four, at least three. You had Chicago, obviously had two. LA only had one, but you know,
Colorado had McKinnon. Wasn't Landeskog a first?
Yes,
and yeah, but not
McCarr
three.
Was a four.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean,
you do need. Well, I guess my counter to that would be: what if they still have the number one and the number three from 2006 and 2007 around?
Will be they yeah. be you know like that's
no that's that it's fair yeah that like that is the exact dilemma I've been wrestling with as well as like but again it's too early it's just I that is the counter to they're not going to get the top three pick. All right, but here's what you might gain from a season where your team's better than it was expected.
So, yes, but the problem is I don't think next year's draft is as good as this year's draft, and I'd rather have a top three pick this year.
And on top of that, none of the players that are on – like very few of the players that are on the team currently are going to be around long term. So you don't – you know that the coach can get it out of these types of players, but do we know he can get it out of – younger players.
Kevin Korchinski and Frank.
Well, the good news is Korchinski has like 25 points in three games.
Yeah, he's been great. And I think
the bad news is Frank Naser may not play hockey until next season.
That's not good.
No, it is not.
But I mean, the problem, of course, still. So we keep saying the 20 game sample. It's really hard to understand if like even in 20 games we're going to know anything because again, Florida injuries, Edmonton not actually that good, Buffalo. Better than expected, but lots of children. The Wild, for some reason, sucking really bad. Like they
Buffalo's
were
actually not that bad.
Buffalo's I might watched, be sneaky fun this year.
I know, I exactly.
A little bit of Buffalo Calgary, and they didn't look bad. They gave.
I know. I was surprised that they were doing. I think not good.
Hey, LA, Scott Darling.
LA could surprise. LA is doing pretty. Like they're playing.
It wouldn't be surprising though. LA made the playoffs last year.
I know. Yeah, but in.
What was the question again?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, good.
Arizona is beating Columbus 5-0 right now.
Let's go.
So hockey continues to be weird.
Yeah. I'm trying to find when's the next time the Blackhawks play a good, legitimately good team. And that's probably Carolina mid-November and then Boston.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like it depends on your definition. Like Edmonton was in the conference finals last year, although they do suck now. Minnesota was supposed to be good, but they suck again.
Minnesota was good last year, and I don't know what the fuck they're doing this year because their metric completely flipped.
They're being hilarious, is what they're being. They're being the Wild. Every time they were supposed to be good, they suck. I'm sorry. I remain unconvinced the Minnesota Wild will ever be good. I don't care how good Kirill Kaprizov is.
Just move the fucking Stars back and give Dallas the Wild.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
All right. So the question we had, like the general idea was, if it is worth it to have like an ultra aggressive penalty kill like Luke Richardson has brought to town, and like whether it's worth it to take the risk of having an aggressive penalty kill and trying to get some shorthanded goals, if that offsets the risk of giving up penalty kill or giving up shorthanded goal or the other team's power play goals against you. And so I was starting to look at the thing Shay pointed out when we were discussing this in our little break was to compare the teams that had the most shorthanded goals with how good their penalty kill was last season. I know that Toronto had the league lead with shorthanded goals. They had 12 last season because I was looking this up, writing about the Blackhawks who already have 4 this season. So they're 1/3 of the way to the league leaders from last season. Again, not sustainable. But Toronto had the most shorthanded goals with they had 13, not 12, and their penalty kill was 8th in the league at 82%. Florida had the second most shorthanded goals at 12, and their penalty kill was 16th in the league. The third, tied for third with 11 shorthanded goals last season was Edmonton and LA. Edmonton's penalty kill was 17th in the league. LA's is 22nd. Vegas had 10 shorthanded goals. That was 5th in the league. Their penalty kill was not great, 21st. So it seems like the teams that had the better penalty kills did not score as many shorthanded goals. I'll do this the other way. Here's the top 5 penalty kill teams last season in order. Carolina, San Jose, Pittsburgh, New York, Islanders, and the Blues. The amount of shorthanded goals they scored in order. 4, 4, 3, 5, and 9. So it seems, based off last season's numbers, that teams who focus more on defense and don't try to score shorthanded goals at all are more likely to have success, I guess.
You know what I would be interested in? I would be interested in seeing what types of players are on those.
That's also true as well.
Cause there are some penalty kills that have their top line players on it still. Like the Blackhawks used to have
Taves and Hossa.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and they, you know, the Blackhawks right now are scoring with not Taves and Hossa.
I would also look at save percentage on the penalty kill. There's a lot of the teams you named that were top in goals were had awful goaltending.
Yeah. And that's like the proverbial hockey wisdom of your best penalty killer is your goaltender. So there's certainly that.
I know the Carolina plays they typically play a pretty aggressive penalty kill, but they don't score a lot on it. And I don't know, I think that's just because their penalty killers are not good scorers, you know, like, and also I don't think they really try to score that much. They try to outpossess, like they try to make, you know, they're trying to kill the penalty versus score on the penalty. This seems like an X's and O question that I just don't know enough about.
It's hard to find, like,
you'd have to,
it's hard to find like the data to explain it. And then from a, like, as you mentioned, from like an X's and O's perspective, I think it comes down to the personnel that you have. Like if you have a Jonathan Taves and Marian Hossa in their prime as your penalty kill, your top penalty kill forward pairing, it might make sense to try and score some goals because those two are capable of it. If those forwards are, say, like Marcus Kruger and Jamal Mayers, maybe you don't want to go for goals as much because they're not going to score as many goals.
Well, I think it's fair to say that when you look at that Hawks team, Quenneville didn't really want to deploy them to score shorties. He just said tilt the ice.
Yeah.
And that's what Taves and Hossa did all the time, 5-on-5 especially. But during the penalty kill, they got down there and killed time. But I think if your 5-on-5 is as good as those Hawks teams are, you can kind of afford that luxury. And in the instance of this Hawks team, the 5-on-5, or like I should say, like Betsy and Shay were talking about earlier, the possession numbers are bad. So they're going to take any type of open ice they can to try to score.
There you go.
Because they don't care if they lose. You know what I mean? I mean, in the big picture.
I don't think it's going to work as well against better teams.
I don't either. No,
like,
I
agree. Carolina, or not Carolina, Colorado lit them up because they were great. And I think any top 10 team is probably going to do something similar. So we'll see. Like I said, I was trying to figure out. Edmonton will be a good, just because McDavid will be on the power play. You know, like he can make anybody look idiotic, right? So we'll see in the next game if it can hold up against superstars, because it didn't in the one game that had superstars so far.
All right. Well, that was the more formal hockey question. Let's have a less serious hockey question from Still Jim L23. Among the participants of the podcast, if we played in a hockey league, who would have the most goals, most assists, and most importantly, most penalty minutes? Mill is obviously the penalty minutes leader.
What?
Unquestionably. for mouthing off to the refs, if nothing else, and getting 10-minute misconduct.
But if I'm like wearing crazy, a letter, I'm allowed to do that.
But you're going to cross the line and get thrown out of several games.
Okay.
Am I right?
Then I'm just the coach.
You can get thrown out from behind the bench, too.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a hockey coach get ejected from a game now. I feel like...
I'm sure Torts have.
But for like throwing a bench on the ice, like somebody threw a bench on the ice.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah. Was it Torts that threw a bench on the ice?
No, it was way
before that. I mean, there was a Patrick Waugh destroyed the barrier.
Yeah, because Waugh was trying to fight the coach on the other side of the glass. But in terms of goals and assists, I mean, like, have any of the other three of you played any sort of hockey at any point or even skated?
Yes.
Yeah, but
I skated, but I was horrible, and I was 3.
I haven't done it since middle school.
So. Mill, what about you?
I'm kind of like I'd compare myself to like an Andrew Desjardins kind of style.
And I don't want to give anybody a false impression. I play in a very, very shitty beer league, so just because I can stand upright doesn't mean I can skate. But goals and assists. I don't know who's going to have more of the killer instinct to score.
I'm really good at air hockey.
I'm good at
rollerblading too. So
that is hand eye coordination.
I can skate backwards pretty well on rollerblades.
Okay,
I can promise you, I will lead in shot attempts because I take a lot of shots.
Mill's going to tilt the ice for us.
Yeah, that's
Betsy. You know what? We're just going to pretend, Betsy, that the air hockey stuff is translatable to actual hockey. You're the goal scorer, and me and Shay will be responsible for setting you up.
There oh no! Go. I've always thought if I ever played hockey, I'd be a Braden McNabb style defenseman,
which is more of a defensive style.
Yes, just okay. Hit people.
Okay. You definitely have the height for it.
Yes.
We met at the whatever AEW event was. You're definitely tall. So like the Blackhawks' entire defense corps is like 6'2". So you might actually have a shot with Chicago this season.
If I could skate, yeah. My cardio is good.
Have you seen Tenorti? I mean, we can get you in some games. Have you get you a -60 tank?
The yeah, there we go. I claim tank commander role.
There we go.
I'll tell you what. I play sports mostly left-handed, but I do shoot right in hockey. So my hand poke check is pretty good.
All right. Well, so we'll get you. You're gonna be the Goonie blue liner. That's your job.
So I'm just Stifler.
Pretty much.
Take 69.
Was he a forward?
I don't know. He just ran people over. That's all I know. Probably. It was like John Scott.
Yeah.
Well, John Scott lined up as a forward before and a defenseman. So if you suck, it doesn't matter where you are.
Not the game we were watching, but Kubalik just got another point.
Good Lord.
Because
10 points in 6 games.
Because yep. He rocks. Unfortunately, he plays for the fucking devil.
Yeah,
not to be confused with the New Jersey Devils,
who are weirdly who I checked yesterday, 70% expected goal share.
Yeah, they're
good Lord.
They're ridiculous underlying numbers that are going to regress, but like that's crazy.
Yeah,
and
there's still calls to fire Lindy.
6 points in 7 games.
All right, let's not go down this road because
love you, Dylan.
This is just really good at anger.
I hope I'm going to Washington. I hope I'm going to DC soon. I haven't planned it yet, but first of all, their arena is great.
Yes, it is.
Their public transportation is great. You can eat ice cream out of little helmets. And yeah, I like watching Ovechkin usually. So
I might go to the Hawks Caps game.
I will say for those of you in the Chicagoland area, which is myself, Mill, and probably some of the people listening to this, if you ever wanted to go see the Hawks on the cheap, this is your season to do it, because I was looking at secondhand ticket prices earlier today, and I mean, I saw a lot of teams, so you can probably after fees, it's probably in the low like 20 to 25 range. So if secondhand tickets are your thing, this is the year to go, because good seats available, apparently. And as I'm watching this game tonight, seeing all the seats that are empty in the crowd, there's a lot of room for you. So there's that. Other than that, I think that's most of the hockey discussion out of the way. Question.
Who's the coach for Florida right now? Who did they decide would be better than the guy that was leading them to the
press? Some other guy.
I honestly can't remember.
Florida Panthers coach. I was a search I have done before.
Paul Maurice. Pointed out by Race to the Rafters in the comments, this is mainly a question for Mill because he'll know who it is. Betsy, and you, this is an older school reference, so I don't know if you'll know this one, Betsy and Shay, but do you know who one of the assistant coaches are for the Florida Panthers?
Right now?
Is it Greg McKegg?
Greg McKegg might be one of them. No, he's
not.
Is it
an old hawk?
Actually, yeah. One of them is Jamie Compan, which is kind of funny.
Oh, God.
Another one is Sylvain Levay. But the important one here is that Tuomo Rutu is an assistant coach.
What?
Oh, yes.
Tuomo Rutu, former Blackhawks first-round pick from like 2001.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I know who he is.
Okay.
Tuomo Rutu.
Hey, that's for the old people, Betsy. I wasn't sure if you...
I'm the same age as Bill. Yeah,
no, okay. I think he means like the people that were there when they were like literally like corpses on the
people
ice.
That wasted their teenagers watching a worse hockey team than this one right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're even before their teenage years. I was a teenager, but I'm older than all of you, as we've established.
I think like 05, 06, I was 13, 14. So.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel a little better. All right. Well, I think we got enough hockey discussion. So because this is the 100th episode, we have to come back to our trademark as the best food themed hockey podcast on the internet. And Halloween is next Monday, as first reported by Second City Hockey. So we talked about Halloween. Thanks for the courtesy laugh, Mel.
I just thought about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Last year, I think we just talked about like favorite Halloween candy. So this year, I think we should just go the other way and just rant about the ones we hate. And I'm going to start with Almond Joy, because coconut is not candy. I don't give a shit how much chocolate you put on it. It is not candy. Get it the hell away from me. Anybody else have candy that they hate? And we already yelled about candy corn earlier before we started recording. Almond Joy.
Okay. Almond Joy's texture is good.
I really like
Just as I defend
candy corn as the lone person here who likes candy corn, I will also defend Almond Joy and also coconut.
Shay, why do you enjoy being so wrong all the time?
I don't understand the hatred for coconut. It's fine.
Coconut is fine in certain quantities.
I don't want fine. I want good.
Texture.
I like Almond Joys.
Dave, you're out of luck with American candy. What can I tell you?
Okay.
Tootsie Rolls are not good.
Yeah, the flavored ones are always better than the chocolate ones, and the vanilla Tootsie Rolls make
those so good.
Those are good.
I actually don't know if I've had the vanilla ones, but I don't like vanilla that much. But again, it's also partially a texture thing. I do not like the texture of Tootsie Rolls.
You like taffy?
I don't like taffy.
There you go. That's why.
I don't like fondant or taffy, so I'm not going to like candy corn.
Oh, the technically edible food you guys were talking about earlier today?
Fondant, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tootsie Rolls are good.
Do you not watch any cooking show, like baking shows?
Do I?
Like anybody?
I watch some of GBB.
Yeah, I used to watch the baking show with, oh my God, King of Sweets or whatever it's. Anyway, Cake Kings, those ones, they were like.
The Cake Boss?
No, I never watched that because that guy kind of was a dick. All the people who were bakers all looked like they really should have been tattoo artists, but they weren't. They were bakers.
That's funny.
Kid
on the ad by the QR code looks like Kirby Doc.
I just saw that and I was actually thinking it was Kirby Doc initially. It was really
good. It's some kid in the stands.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, so we've got Almond Joys on the hit list and we've Tootsie Rolls. Shay and Mill, do you have a candy you hate?
Hershey's chocolate bar is made with wax. And that's not what chocolate is supposed to be.
Is it real? Because I've got made with wax.
Yes, there's wax in Hershey's chocolate.
I think the candy. See, I don't really like black licorice.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't like whatever they call it, Good and Plenty's.
Yeah,
it's like the purple box.
It's neither good, and I don't want plenty of them.
Yeah, so. It tastes like black licorice. So to me, like I can eat like the texture. It's basically like eating dots or whatever.
It's also similar to Mike and Ike's, right? Like Mike and Ike's are.
Yeah, but I like Mike and Ike's because I mean I don't like buy them, but I'm just saying like if it's in my Halloween candy, it's just tastes like kind of like jelly beans, which I don't really care for jelly beans, but the flavor is fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's me with dots. I just wish they would get stuck in your teeth less.
Yeah, they're terrible about that. They stick there for like you gotta go brush your teeth after you eat those. So I'm thinking black licorice, tasting things of any variety.
Yeah, black licorice just reminds me of like NyQuil, which isn't what thought I want.
Then again, though, the older I get, maybe I do like that because there's definitely some alcohol in there.
I was gonna say, it's either like NyQuil or Jaeger is kind of the roads you go down with the
Jaeger is made with anise.
The thing is like. It's like if I mean I don't like go out of my way to drink Jaeger, but like if you have a shot of Jaeger, it's like a shot. But like I don't want to chew on that flavor.
No.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of the last time I had a shot of Jaeger that wasn't like mixed with Red Bull for obvious
reasons. The last time I had Jaeger in general was college.
Yeah, I don't. That's not something I want in my body.
I usually have that if I have like a cold or something.
Jaeger?
Yeah, Jaeger or gin is good for you. Like when you're sick.
Okay, I didn't realize that was serious. I thought you were not joking around. All right.
Not like entirely, but like there's like, what is it called? Juniper.
Okay.
Or whatever. Gotcha. It's better for your stomach.
Yeah.
Than like whiskey or tequila.
And we're definite medical professionals, so these are absolutely opinions you should take to
don't
the bank.
Don't take my advice on anything that's not hockey or music related, and don't even take my advice on that.
I was going to say take your advice on all jersey related things.
Yes.
All athletic aesthetics.
That was also like my line of work for a decade. So
go ahead, Betsy.
Well, I was just going to say, because I had to look it up because I couldn't let it rest. The show I was thinking of was Ace of Cakes, and the guy I was thinking of was Duff Goldman. You guys know who that is, Duff?
No.
Watch his show. He also has...
Duff Goldman. Oh, yeah, no.
His show, his current show, I think it's called Duff Takes the Cake. And he's pretty much, he's like on every baking show you can think of. That's ever, like
the kids. I feel like that's probably a case of I know the face if I saw it.
Worst bakers of America in America, but all that kind of stuff.
All I can think of is now because of his name is it's Duffman.
I feel like every
the song.
Yes.
Every baker in that I feel like look like they could have been a tattoo artist. So anyway. Can I name one other candy that I think is disgusting?
Absolutely.
Smarties. That's chalk.
I like Smarties.
Fine. It's definitely got a chalkiness to it, but they're fine. Like that's one of those when you're going through your Halloween candy as a kid, Smarties is the stuff that you were still finishing off in mid-November because you ate all the good stuff earlier.
Did you guys ever have? I don't know if it like mostly like a little girl's thing that they would give you like jewelry made out of what were essentially Smarties.
You mean like candy jewelry?
I love candy jewelry. Necklaces. Yeah.
Okay. So I hated those, and people would kept giving them to me.
I feel like those were harder to bite into than Smarties, though.
Yeah, they are because they're meant to be like hold like a toy. Up better. You know? Yeah. If you put like an actual Smarties on those, they would just crumble to dust because they're chalk.
Yeah, they're not great. But that was a weird era. But they make like necklaces and bracelets, and yeah, that was a thing. And then you like if you wore them, you could get like be like on your skin after a while. It was really weird.
Yeah.
What was even worse are candy cigarettes.
Yeah.
You could get those from the ice cream truck. The glorification like
is. All right, I just thought of one other thing. It's not really a food take, but it is a Halloween themed discussion. So to get to this, I have to lay out, I was one of five boys growing up. Mill, I know you have at least one sibling. Is it just two or you have more?
No, just Steve.
Just you two. Shay and Betsy, did you have siblings or were you only?
Yes. Younger sister.
Okay. I have three older siblings.
All right. So my question is, when you would go trick or treating and when you came back, was your Halloween candy, like, did you have your own candy or did it become community candy? Because in my family, we came back, everything got thrown into one giant container, and it was community candy. And as I grew older, I found out everyone was like, "How? Why did you do that? Like, you should have been able to keep your own candy." And I guess we're the weird ones, which would be par for the course.
Yeah, no, it was everybody for themselves.
Best thing about you.
My siblings are spaced out. My brother was 14 years older than me. My oldest sister is 10 years older than me. And then my closest to me is 4 years older than me. So
by the time you're old enough to go trick-or-treating, they weren't.
I mean, my sister that was close in age to me, we went trick-or-treating together for a while. But yeah, there were years where obviously I trick-or-treated without her because she was too cool to do that anymore. No, it was definitely whatever you got. We traded though. I know I traded a lot.
Ooh,
okay. I take my when I would take my nephew trick-or-treating, I would make him give me a candy tax though. I was like, you have to give me some of your candy because I'm walking around with you or driving you somewhere. So
okay.
Yeah. My family did have taxes like that.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely shared, like Dave said. I did the same thing. But my family usually has a dish of candy out like all year round. So when it's Halloween, it just gets multiplied to like a really big bowl of candy. Right. So we would just dump everything in there. Cause like, I don't know, Steve and I never had issues with that.
Yeah. I remember like whenever we would do that, like the first week, all the good stuff goes first. So like all the Snickers, the Reese's peanut butter cups, the Milky Ways, like all the good stuff goes first. And then like after a week or two, you're like, do you want Smarties or there's like Almond Joys left or Whoppers? There were always so many Whoppers left by like November 12th. It was ridiculous.
I also though, like I ate a lot of my candy on Halloween night. But after my mom would make sure there was no anthrax in it because that's the era I grew up in.
Well, it's just a different drug parents are worried about because like parents worried about like
fentanyl.
But like when we were like, I feel like pot was a big thing. And I remember being like, why would anybody pay
give away their pot
and then give it away?
Nobody's going to give away their good drugs. They just like anthrax was like a mailbox thing in that era. And my mom, I wasn't allowed to get the mail for like a year.
Oh, I mean, I get that. But like right now, fentanyl is the big one.
Also, I was like 8 or 9. So like I'm not like, you know, you probably shouldn't be looking through the mail anyways at that age.
Yeah, I mean, didn't your parents, like my mom always made me go to the mailbox to get, she wasn't gonna do it. My nephew's 14, that's his job.
My mom's the she's the come home from work, drive up to it before she goes in the garage style. I don't know.
All right, well, we've talked about anthrax and mailboxes. Somehow we've ended up there from hockey, so it's definitely time to wrap up this whole thing.
Can I throw one thing out there before we're done?
Go ahead, Mill, and then Betsy, you'll go next.
I forgot to mention this in the intro, but because of the radio at work, I, too, have been listening to Taylor Swift all week, but it's, like, the same four songs.
What are they?
I don't know. They're all old ones.
Oh, my God. I need you to learn what they are and report back to us. And then...
Okay.
Two, is anybody doing anything for Halloween?
I'm giving out candy on my front porch.
I'm going to Elton John on October 29th.
We're having a TRL MTV themed Halloween party.
Oh, that's cool.
That's excellent. That's a really good theme.
I'm going to a TV show screening that on actual Halloween.
That's cool.
But otherwise, this will be like, I'm not dressing up or anything, which a little sad, but
I think I'm going to be Gwen Stefani from No Doubt era.
No Doubt, not the Gavin Rossdale era, not the Blake Shelton era.
I don't look good enough for that.
Or maybe even the Tony Kanai era, if you really want to go back in the archives.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Musings on Madison. Thank you so much for listening. And again, with this being 100 episodes, thank you to everyone who's listened to any of these episodes over the years. I can't believe we actually got this far, and I hope we do another 100 because it's been very entertaining. Thanks to everyone for hanging out this evening, Betsy, Shay, and Mill. Mill's on Twitter at Mill182. Shepherd is at Jehosa's Witness. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. And the main account is at 2ND City Hockey. I'm at DML57. One thing really quickly, we're looking to add some people to the Second City Hockey staff. We have paid position or two available. If you are interested in that, send us an email. It's secondcityhockey@gmail.com, all one word. We're going to have a posting later in the week, but if you're listening to this and you want to contribute to our website, we're going to give everybody that's listening to this a chance to get in before everyone, the flood of emails we might get later in the week. So if you're interested, send us an email again, secondcityhockey@gmail.com, and we can get you more information if you are interested. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.